Most of you have been here across the summer, and over the summer we've read from Genesis about Abraham and Sarah, and then that short story of Isaac and Ishmael, I love that one, and then the long story of Jacob and Esau, and now for just two Sundays, we read about Jacob's favorite son, Joseph, this insufferable tattletale brat at first, who turns out to be the savior of Israel. This Joseph novel, as some call it, is the longest story in the Bible, and you probably have heard it so many times that you know every adventure very well. We'll read it, just a couple of the stories from that. This one today, in which the brothers do a terrible thing to their brother, and even worse, to Jacob, their father. We'll hear the story's conclusion next week. And in the meantime, I have a homework assignment for you. And your homework assignment is to read the entire Adventures of Joseph, and it's a wonderful, even though it's the longest story in the Bible, it's relatively short. It'll take you half an hour to read it, maybe. Genesis chapters 37 through 50. That's your assignment. I'll be checking on you. And I'm sorry we're not having Sunday school on it to discuss it, because it's really, really great stuff. Now, if we go into the gospel, having read a number of Jesus' parables in Matthew, we've moved into miracles. Last Sunday morning, Jesus fed the 5,000. Today, this classic story of Jesus walking on water out across the surface of the Sea of Galilee. And if you visualize it, this happens early the morning after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has been up on the mountain with the Father in prayer, not unusual for him. And I think that Jesus may have had a super moon such as we had last night. He looked at the same moon that we do now, maybe a bright super moon, because as I visualize it from way up high on the mountainside, he can see out across the sea that the men in the boat are far from shore and having a hard time making headway. And there are waves, and the story says the wind's against them, and it looks to have been a miserable, miserable time at sea. And I've been there. During the Vietnam War, some of you have heard me tell this story before. During the Vietnam War, when my Navy ship was in transit across the Pacific from Subic Bay in the Philippines to Vietnam, we got caught in a typhoon. It was not the center and the hurricane force winds, but the outside edge where the wind itself was not high, but the seas were absolutely mountainous. It was a large aircraft carrier type ship that was designed to operate offshore with Marine landing forces and Marine Corps helicopters. But for budget reasons, prior to construction, that class of ship had been redesigned, and as a result, or one result, was a change in the ship's handling and seagoing characteristics that gave it an unstable righting moment. Up to a certain point, the ship would, by physics, computation, formula, roll and then right itself from a roll. But beyond that point, it would continue to roll, hang for a moment, and then capsize, which would ruin your day. During that typhoon, we had many of those heavy rolls in which the ship would hang precariously there for a minute, and you would hold your breath to help her recover and come back. Was I afraid? During the typhoon, my assistant, Lieutenant Matt Matthews, and I went out on the hangar deck and climbed up high on a stack of CH-53 helicopter braids there, and I said, Matt, if we die today, if I die today, there ain't nothing I can do about it. And we just sat there on top of that stack of blades and enjoyed the roller coaster ride. I will tell you that St. Peter's attempt to walk on the water did come to mind as I held on tight. And so if you are entering into the stormy sea in the Bible story this morning, during his night on the mountain, in prayer with the Father, Jesus there in the moonlight, visualizing again, can see the disciples' boat out far from land, making a little headway because of the wind and waves. And then early, and I'm thinking first light of dawn, He makes his way back down the mountainside to the beach, down to the shore, and with no hesitation simply starts out walking on the surface of the sea, headed for the boat where his friends are, the disciples, and they're having a hard time. And there is Peter, who so often gets a bum rap for doing or saying the wrong thing, gets out of the boat, and as soon as he realizes what he's done, he starts to sink. And Jesus saves him. There are 10 million jillion faith sermons in that. But they've all been preached. Over the past 2,000 years, every one of them has been preached. And that's not where I'm going this morning anyway. That's not what I'm about. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to mix the gospel theologies of Matthew and John. This is not kindergarten Sunday school. And so I'm asking you, do you actually believe this incredible story? Do you believe in miracles? Father Steve asked us last Sunday, I'm asking you again this morning, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe Jesus walked on water? Nobody has the power to do that, right? Let me tell you something. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was in the beginning with God. All things were created through the Word, and nothing was made without the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Logos, the creating Word, only begotten Son of the Father, and not only grace and truth, but grace, truth, and power. Because you see, the Bible word for this miracle about which you may be so skeptical is not that Jesus was a magician. Magus, the word is dunamis, dynamis, which means power, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. Jesus who fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men last week, not to mention women and children, with 2 loaves and 5 fish, came present in human life with all the power of the creating God. And today, the creating Word, the Logos, walks out across his creation. The New Testament Greek word dunamis does not mean magic or magician doing miracle tricks. Jesus Christ came with all the power of the creating Word. That's the gospel. And that's why we are here this morning. If I can't see this and preach it and believe it, I have no business leading you in the Nicene Creed. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Through him all things were made. That's the faith of the church about the power of the Word. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over churning chaos, and God said, let there be, and there was. And whatever God said, it was so. Jesus Christ, the divine Logos, the creating Word, power, dunamis. He can walk on water. It's not magic. It's dunamis. It's the power of God. Jesus Christ, surely you are the Son of God. This wonderful Bible story, Sunday school Bible story, about Jesus walking out across the surface of the stormy, windy Galilean Sea, tossed with high waves on that early morning, comes down to us across the ages, not as some fanciful tale of magic that we come in and hear and skip it and doubt it, but as part of the gospel promise of God's power to save us, to save you and to save me. And as Paul says today in Romans 10, to save everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord and in faith accepts God's power to raise the Son from death. And in this life, not only to raise us from death as Christ was raised, but to be with us in this life in peril and storm in the same way that he was with Peter and the other disciples that gray dawn as day was breaking over the stormy sea. This is the gospel. I proclaim it to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.